Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yo. Look. Yo. Look. Aubrey Edwards, Tony Schiavone, we bout to party, we bout to party. Unrestricted, got the house now. We gon' turn it up, up, bring the house down. Got that bass, bass pumping, make them bounce now. Flossing like they bossing, and the freaks are coming out now.
Hey, Tony Schiavone.
Hey, Aubrey.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to have everyone back with us on All Elite Wrestling Unrestricted.
Unrestricted.
It's the official podcast of AEW. We are with John Moxley.
Hey, John. Good to see you.
Yeah. Hey, I made it.
You did make it.
I wanted to talk about your beginnings in wrestling. You're from Cincinnati. How did you first discover pro wrestling as a kid?
I don't remember a time before it.
Really?
There was a couple kids who lived in an apartment underneath me who had like wrestling figures and some old WWF videotapes that might have been not necessarily old at the time, but I remember watching it at their house, and that's kind of my first memories. I mean, pretty much it was just always the thing that I liked. That and Ninja Turtles and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
I had the Ninja Turtle action figures. They had the car that shot the pizzas.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, that was legit.
You were really big into Bret Hart. When's the first time you saw him wrestle?
Probably around that same time. Yeah, like early mid-90s, Bret was the guy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I kind of missed Hulkamania. I was born in 1985, so by the time I was watching and could understand what was going on,
Sam,
like seven, he's already kind of out.
Right.
Bret was the guy at that point.
Sure.
So, you know, he'd be on like WWF Superstars or the Saturday morning shows, and you know, I'd watch the there was a lot less wrestling content back then. You know, there might have been 1 hour show a week, or there was WCW too, but I never really saw much WCW until a little later, until like the Nitro days. I was never exposed to it. But you know, you find that 1 hour a week on was about all there was back then. But there was videotapes. So I was obsessed with videotapes.
You're a tape trader?
Dude, I would I'd go to every video store, every flea market, every anywhere where they sold VHS tapes, and scour for every single possible wrestling tape I could find. And kind of started piecing together kind of the history of stuff from like, okay, this was from 89. This was WrestleMania 6 or whatever. And then this is 7. And then kind of like, I remember like writing stuff down, like writing like title histories down when I was a kid. Like, okay.
Oh, wow.
Like, kind of trying to compile the history through like videotapes, you know?
Because you're getting it all kind of scattered.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
Wow. So as this big fan, you finally get your chance in wrestling. And let's talk about when you first started in wrestling. When did that happen? I know Les Thatcher has a lot to do with your career.
Yeah, I started when I was, I first walked through the doors, I was 16 years old. I guess I was maybe like it was right about the time I left high school.
Mm-hmm.
As I would have been a junior in high school. It was 2003, I guess. So I saw an advertisement for, it was a company that I started called HWA. At the time, it was a, it's Heartland Wrestling.
At the time,
it was like a developmental territory for WWE. And so they had a lot of like farm guys, developmental guys there. So they had some really good shows. It was, you know, Jamie Noble was there, mm-hmm. Spanky, the Island Boys, one of which was Roman Reigns' brother. The other one was Umaga, BJ Whitmer.
Shit.
Yeah, crazy roster of talent for a little local promotion. But I saw an advertisement for the show, and it was at a place called Red Barn Flea Market. And I was like, oh, dude, I've never really seen live wrestling. I'd been to one show with, like, nosebleed seats, but I could never, you know, that was a WCW house show or something, like super nosebleed seats. It's not really the same thing as being there. Because every time we come through, like, Cincinnati Gardens, I couldn't afford to go because I didn't have any money.
Right.
So, like, I would stand outside, and, like, I remember me and my friend trying to find a way to sneak in. We just couldn't, like, through the back loading door where they're, like, bringing in pizzas and stuff. We couldn't.
You're never successful.
Couldn't get in. So I seen this. So I went to this show, and it was up close and personal, like, and it was mind-boggling. Everybody just seemed so humongous to me. Like, physically, like...
Well, because they were.
Yeah, like...
Massive.
I mean, larger than life in a sense, but, like, just actually physically huge.
Right.
I remember the first guy who come through the curtain was a guy named Johnny the Bull. And he looked like the largest human I've ever seen in my life. Just jacked up. Just like, and just seeing wrestling, like, up close and personal for the first time and, like, feeling, like, the contact and, like, noticing, like, how loud the noise the ring made and stuff. I was like... Oh, man. And it was, like, literally close enough I could, like, reach out and touch it. It mm-hmm. started to be like, this could happen. I had no idea how to get into wrestling.
Right. But at that moment, you know that it's real and it's a thing that people yeah. could do.
It seemed like it was so much, you know, the internet was already around and stuff back then.
Yeah.
But it was, like, before smartphones and everybody had phone and stuff. I didn't ever have the internet because I didn't have a computer. So the only time I would ever be, like, online would be, like, if we had... computer lab in school or something like
right.
that. So I had no idea how to get started or that if it was impossible. Because, like, back then there was so much more magic. It's not like, oh, you know everybody's real names and everybody's on Twitter now. Like, me and my friends just talk like, what's the Undertaker like in real life, you think? Like, you think he's like that all the time?
Right.
Like, you think he, like, sleeps in a...
In an urn.
In a casket, you know? Because you don't know.
Right.
Right.
They're... You're like, who are these people and how do they get into it? Because it was, you know, more closed off world. So I had no idea where to begin. But in the program, you know, like, they put together a little program.
Yeah, they've got it at the show.
The advertisements for, like, the local pizza shop and the matches for a night or whatever. But on the back, it was Les Thatcher's Main Event Pro Wrestling Camp. Want to be a wrestler or whatever. And had, like, the address.
So you're immediately like,
and I was
that's
like,
me.
Yeah, I knew it immediately. It was like, a light from the heavens shone. It was just like, that's where I'm going. No question about it. And I sent him, Les Thatcher a physical letter. And he replied to me with a physical letter that was typed on a typewriter. And I'm like, who owned a typewriter?
Les Thatcher owned
after like 1990, maybe. But,
he's really and he was like,
that's
vibe.
Old school.
He was like getting a weight training program and this and that and whatever. And, you had to be 18 to start. So I was like, I'm just going to kind of like try to fudge this and just, so I just showed up at the school.
So you just didn't admit you were 16.
Yeah. And we talked for a little while and everything. And I always remember this too. When I pulled up, I was like super nervous because I'm like, oh my, you know, I don't know what's going to be behind these doors or whatever. I've never seen anybody like training wrestling.
Right.
I had no idea like what goes into it. I'm like, how much is real? How much is fit? They just.
It's a completely new world to you.
I don't know how you put it together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the most obsessed fan in the world, but I have no idea how.
You
like,
shit.
I don't know how like a wrestling match gets put together. I don't know how do we decide a finish? Like I don't know how any of this stuff works. And I remember pulling up to like the back. The school's like many are like a loading dock mm-hmm. kind of. What do you call that?
It's like a truck storage.
Yeah.
Like a warehouse.
Yeah, like a kind of a warehouse,
right.
Strip mall kind of thing with all the units or whatever. So I pull up to the
it's
back.
Nothing fancy.
Where there's like
roll
the big
door.
Garage door.
Yep.
And it sounded like somebody was shooting guns. It sounds exactly like before. If you ever go to like a shooting range
yeah.
and you hear like the pop, pop. It was like pow, pow, pow. It was so loud and it was like reverberating off the garage door. I'm like, what the hell is going on in there? It was just people taking bumps and
right.
taking falls. And it was so loud and I was like, it's like gunshots. And this dude named Matt Stryker, not the one that was like the announcer on TV, is a
right.
different Matt Stryker.
Right.
The unibrow. Awesome wrestler.
Yeah.
STRYKER.
Mm-hmm.
He was the man. If you ever if we find any footage of him. And I'd seen him on the show, so he was like the biggest star in the world to me, and he just opened the door and stuck his head out, and I was like, I'm coming to like check out school, whatever. Anyway, I talked to Les for a while, and then he brought me in to watch some of the training session, and like it was like the Wizard of Oz, seeing like
they pulled the curtain back.
Like the curtain was pulled back. I was like, oh my God, like seeing people. I remember they were like working on like punches and strikes and stuff like that. And a guy named Cody Hawk was the primary trainer at that point. Les was kind of more of just the name of the marquee kind of thing. The guy who handled most of the day-to-day physical in the ring was a guy named Cody Hawk, who's an awesome worker too. And I talked to him after the practice. I sat there and watched the whole thing for like 3 hours, just like transfixed.
Mm-hmm.
And talked to a couple of guys and whatever, and he was like, yeah, if you want to just hang out at you know, sweep the floors, help set up the ring, whatever, be ring crew or whatever. Do so he basically let me start hanging at the shows and help setting up the ring. And I would go to like practices and just watch and just be like, okay, I'm just gonna study everything, and then I'll go do the drills like on my own or whatever if I'm not allowed to start. And they ended up just like before the show, like somebody'd throw me in a ring and start messing around with me, and I mean, I just kind of slipped in and started training full time, and like probably early 2004. My first match in June of 2004. So, but it was like old school camp, you know, like Les mm-hmm. was worked in the 60s. And it was
right.
Like it was like minimum 6 months of training before you even get to have a match. Like yeah. you had to be something of a, not a seasoned pro, but you had to be like capable. They wouldn't just throw you out there and let you look like an idiot. Like you see some, like a lot of schools probably do, or indie shows, you know, see people who are like, that doesn't look like a pro wrestler. That's like
training for a few months.
Kid playing pro wrestler. You right. know? Like you had to like be in shape, look good, have a good gimmick or whatever. They were big on like gimmicks, you know. They had a guy named Chip Fairway who was a golfer. They had a Pepper Parks, who is now the Blade, who is yeah. a male cheerleader. His partner was a football player named Chet the Jet. Cody Hawk was a surfer, you know. So
yeah, where did so John then, Moxley come started. From?
Actually, there was another kid at the school named Jimmy. And since I was literally like high school age, they wanted us to be like stoner football players. Because he's like, I'm either going to make you the biggest stoner or like some kind of like stoner jock football player or something. And they ended up giving him the same thing, and they made us a gimmick, and they gave us a cheerleader.
Pepper Parks.
No, it was a female cheerleader named Jen, who I'm still friends with to this day. So we were like this. I still had a practice football jersey from when I played football in high school. So that was like what I wore to the ring, and like wore like white football pants, and we just do like comedy stuff. Like we were like buffoons. Like we would like accidentally run into each other and stuff like that, and do all this football related nonsense. You know, when you're starting too, it's easier, I think, to start rather than just jumping right in, having serious 20-30 minute matches. When you have like a gimmick to rely on, when you don't really know what you're doing,
you can kind of hide behind that.
Well, you have like a shtick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can, and then kind of figure it out as you go along. But anyway, so I didn't have a name.
I'd probably been
thinking about names for years and years, but I had no ideas. Because the day we had our first match, it was just like, you know, the always bring your gear, you never know when you're going to have your first match thing. Like,
right,
I had no idea I was going to have a match that day. I thought I was just, you know, sitting, do security and sell soda pop or whatever. And yeah. they're like, yep, you're in a whatever third match. And I was like, I remember being so nervous. There's 14 people in the crowd or something like that. I was like, oh my God. Now I don't get nervous at all.
Right.
But for that day, I was like, I almost immediately shit my pants.
More like, people in the locker room than
like,
the crowd.
Right yeah. before I'm about to go out in the ring, and I was like, well, what's the name? And Cody's like, what name did you come up with? I'm like, I don't really have one. I don't. I was baffled. I froze up. I didn't have a good name. But we had the football uniforms on, and this other wrestler guy who's just like, it's like the Varsity Blues guy. He's like the guy from Varsity Blues, Jonathan Moxley. They're like, that's cool. And I was like, oh, okay. I was too nervous to say yes or no or whatever. I was just like, okay. And now literally on the spot within 90 seconds.
That was your name.
That's where the name came from. Actually, in the movie, what's that guy's name? The guy from like James Vanderbeek.
James Vanderbeek.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, there we go.
In the movie, it was Mock's son.
Oh, no. John Moxon.
So the guy screwed up the name a little bit.
Well, mm-hmm. there you go. Then you're not copying somebody.
Yeah. Which, so it's,
it worked.
Yeah. It wasn't my idea at all. It was just like, it was just foisted upon me. And I just, after I would drop the football thing after like 6 months or however long it was, I just kept the name locally and then just I've always kept it. And I don't mind it. It works.
Well, it sure does.
Tony Schiavone.
Tony Schiavone. I'm Aubrey Edwards. This is Tony Schiavone.
How are you doing, Aubrey?
Hey, how are you, buddy?
I'm great.
Fantastic.
Good to be talking to you. We have really a special guest at this time. I know he's going to laugh when I say it, but he really, really is.
Look at his eyes roll already. Listen, where are you going with this, buddy?
We are talking with one of the great champions, Taz, and I say that honestly. Taz and I give each other a hard time a lot.
But, I always love the laugh that happens after someone says that.
But if you followed pro wrestling, you know his accolades. ECW World Champion twice, TV Champion ECW, Tag Team Champ many times, a color commentator for the WWE, in-ring performer for TNA, and a broadcaster now part of the AEW broadcast team. Not only that, successful podcaster, radio host. Anything you haven't done?
No.
Did we miss anything?
No, I think we're good. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Good to talk to you, Tess.
No, well, Tony, I never know when you're sincere.
Really?
Aubrey, I know she's sincere.
Okay.
But you're
quite, I'm tricking you then, buddy.
Yeah, no, but I don't know you as well.
Okay. No. But we're new friends. We're new friends.
Yes, exactly. No, I appreciate the love. But yeah, no, I'm really happy to be here. I'm glad to be part of this. This is awesome.
Yeah, it was really exciting when you hooked on with AEW on a full-time basis, because the story goes, and I'll tell the story again, as I was working WCW, I never watched ECW, and then started doing my podcast, and we started watching ECW, and I'm thinking, this stuff kicks ass, man. I mean, and it really did, and you were one of the main men that kicked ass. I mean, you really had a great career. I mean, in to me, when you walked in the ring, it was real.
Yeah.
You know?
It was too, bro. Right. Like, I never played wrestler.
Mm. Right.
I did not play Taz. I did not play the human suplex machine.
Right.
I born and raised in New York, if you couldn't tell from my accent.
I can tell.
But once I left the house for the airport or to get in a car and drive, I became Taz.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And some guys, as you guys know, can turn it on and off right before you go through the curtain.
Right.
That's not me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was an in-ring competitor, especially during those years in ECW, I couldn't turn it on and off.
Right.
It was on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I was not playing wrestler. I believed what I was saying. I believed what I was doing.
It was a part of you.
It really was. And I'm so proud of that opportunity, because that ECW thing, we all knew at the time, believe it or not, that it was lightning in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
We knew how special it was.
Sure.
Because it was so unique. And we had so many unique characters, and there was not a team. There was no writers. It was one writer. It was Paul Heyman as we ran the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And we were a bunch of driven guys and girls that were told no, told you can't do it, told, you know, hey, AWA's not hiring you. Hey, WWF's not hiring you. Hey, the NWA's not hiring you. That's how it was back then before it was WWE. And we were a bunch of angry, pissed off people.
Right.
And
so you're all just saying fuck it and just doing whatever you
want.
That's
exactly what it was. And that was the mindset. Every night, no matter if there was 100 people in the crowd, 10 people in the crowd, or 3, 4, 5,000 people in the crowd,
right.
It didn't matter. We were angry. We were driven. I was probably the most angriest, because that's what the character was, and that's who I was. And,
right.
And you know, I was a sawed-off, mean motherfucker.
Right.
And you know, I still have that guy in me.
Right.
Yeah, trust I know that. Me. I know you do.
I physically can't do what I did because of injuries, but in my mindset, it's there.
Yeah. Right.
That's awesome. Yeah. Do you feel like part of that comes through with your broadcasting at all?
Absolutely. Because as an in-ring competitor, I was always very proud. It was very hard. Like, I was always an athlete. I played football. I was a judoka. I was an amateur wrestler. I did all these things as a young guy that were very difficult. But when I got trained to be a professional wrestler, it was literally the hardest thing I did. It was very difficult. It was a little bit different years ago, the way you got broken and how you got broken.
Mm-hmm.
I broke in 1986, and I debuted in 1987. That's a long time ago. And I got broken in by an old-timer, a guy named Johnny Rods. And he, you know, a real Brooklyn guy, WWF guy for all those years, underneath guys, we would call it, but a respected guy, you know, very respected. And he broke us in hard-ass as shit. Like, he was just We didn't learn Connie. We didn't learn words like kayfabe. We didn't know. We learned in the locker room. Mm-hmm. We learned the hard way. He just kept us dumb. So we learned. Now, today, it's different, obviously. You know, I know that. But and that's just evolution. And I think that's great. So for me, to answer your question, I was always very proud to be a professional wrestler. Mm-hmm. And I'm still proud. That's part of my history and my legacy. So now as a broadcaster, all the years I've been broadcasting, no matter if it was WWE or TNA or now, you know, with AEW, I'm very proud of that because I'm proud of what the men and women do in the ring, mm-hmm. including referees.
Thank you.
And all broadcasters and in-ring competitors. I'm very proud to be part of something like this mm-hmm. with young folks. I love young vision. I mm-hmm. love the young exuberance. I love the young energy, you know, because, so like we talked ECW. So years ago, during those ECW years, the whole company, as I laid out, was pissed, and we were angry. We were driven. But we were also told, you guys suck, you guys, by the old-timers.
Right. Sure.
You guys are killing the fucking business.
Oh, God, we get told all that today.
I know. So when
every
I
day
first
on Twitter.
Started getting, I know. Well, yeah.
Maybe not you. No, I
see the same bullshit. Right. But, you know, that stuff is like, you got to take with a grain of salt. I mean, these are people that never, a lot of these people are just.
Never taken a bump.
Never taken a bump. Never. Sacrificed, never been away from loved ones, never been missed birthday parties, missed weddings, missed, you know,
sure.
had fights with their significant other on the phone while you're 2,000 miles away.
Right.
They don't understand that. See, so they don't understand that. That's a whole nother podcast.
Right.
That just fucking irks me. So I don't have to go there. But anyway, so the thing
we'll bring in Ted later.
Exactly. The thing I was getting at was like the ECW thing. Like, so we were told, just like AEW, right. by a lot of, oh, you guys are doing too many spots. Oh, you guys don't sell. Oh, that guy, he's going through tables and there's too much blood. You guys are juicing. That guy's doing too many suplex. That guy's, fuck you.
Yeah.
Okay, that's how we were towards those old timers.
Right.
And I feel the same what you get with a lot of the AEW talent. You know, these guys are not big enough. I was told my whole life I wasn't big enough. You know, my whole career. So that, to me, it just drives this locker room, this AEW locker room, all the guys and girls. Right. So I can, that synergy's there for me from the way it was in ECW and what we were told back then to, you know, fast forward all these years to now. The way people are being, some people are saying towards AEW, old-time wrestlers.
Right.
Old-time wrestling personalities.
Right.
Not just social media and stuff, you know.
Well, you guys, what you did back then has stood the test of time, right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's what kind of what we see today.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know you got to be proud about with that. And you talked about being an announcer, but you're more than just that. I mean, you help these young kids. You really do.
You mean here at AEW?
Here at AEW, yes.
I try to hang out by the ring.
Right.
And I don't mean this egotistically, because I don't want to come the wrong way, but they come to me.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, like, of course they do.
You know, they come, which I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. They appreciate me, but I appreciate them being humble enough to say, hey, what'd you think of this move? Or hey, should I change this? Hey, do you have a mindset on this, Taz? I love that. I'm a coach at heart, so I love that.
Sure.
You know, I love to give back because I didn't have a plethora of veterans who helped me years ago, but I did have a couple of them that really were very helpful to me and taught me a lot. So I always remembered, hey, if I ever make it, per se, I want to help. I want to help guys and girls, you know, if I ever get to that level. So I'm blessed and I got to that level, and I love to help these guys and girls here. I love to help them on the microphone as a broadcaster. Mm-hmm. I'm not a play-by-play guy. I mean, mm-hmm. Tony, you know, I look at you as your traditional play-by-play guy.
Right.
That was never me. I'm more of a color analyst.
Sure.
I'm more of a color analyst than color commentator.
Right.
You know, and just if I could say, I don't want to jump ahead. You guys might want to get to the color commentary stuff, but we're just organically shooting the shit.
That's what we're doing.
That's all we're doing.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm having so much fun right now as we record this. I'm doing commentary with Excalibur on Dark.
Mm-hmm.
I love it, you know, because it's a lot of the younger people that are chomping at the bit to get on Dynamite on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. So my job, no one's told me this, but I know my job
mm-hmm.
is to help get those guys and girls over what they're doing in the ring and accentuate that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, like, all the year, like, a lot of my commentary work in TNA, some people didn't like my commentary work, some of it, because when I was a heel character and I was with this Aces and Ace group, they wanted me to be a heel commentator.
Right.
So I was acting like an asshole on the mm-hmm. air and not really getting everybody over it except the heels. I hated it.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But as you know, you guys, you're getting paid. You gotta do your job.
If you're dealt these right. cards, you have to play them.
Right. And in WWE, a lot of my, but some of my commentary was ha-ha fun. That's what the boss wanted.
Sure. Right.
You know, what I'm doing as a commentator in this company, I love. Is I get to break down the physicality. And that's my dream gig as a color commentator. Whenever I gotten a chance all the years I've been doing this to break down action, I'm at my happiest.
Mm-hmm.
And here, like, I'm not micromanaged.
No, no one is.
Which is beautiful.
Right? No,
you don't have anyone in your ear.
Just a little bit, you know, obviously.
Like for, some timing stuff
you,
and whatnot.
You need that as right, you know, right. tone, right? You know, you need that, you know, in and out of break with graphics or whatever and stuff like that. But no, you have your own creativity, and what you're sitting at the table for is to get talent over and to get the storylines over and push things forward. You know, so I'm having a blast right now. Yeah, I mean, maybe the other shoe would drop and I'll be fucking pissed off here. That right. could happen.
Right. No.
Like, that really could. I'm just letting you know.
No, yeah, but, listen, times have changed. They really have. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked to some others like Dustin Rhodes and about how great it is backstage to be here. There doesn't seem to be any agenda.
Right.
And that what makes it a great place to work. You went through the politics of wrestling.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. I mean, it was terrible.
Absolutely. Yeah. You were saying you
No, it's just one of those things where it's like we're all just here to have fun.
Yeah.
And it's so cliche when we say it because everyone's literally saying it. It's like not a Kool-Aid we're drinking. It's literally like
I agree with that because, okay, the politics thing,
mm-hmm.
that's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And that's a major part. Like I know – in your, you know, throughout your career, Tony, you've witnessed experience. Right. I have. Aubrey, maybe not you as much.
Not so much yet.
Which, no, hopefully you never do.
Hopefully, yes.
Because it sucks. And I do think, like Tony was saying, it's things have changed.
Right.
And I'll just shoot. Like, I think here, the reason is, you have to be, and they are, the front office here is very careful on who is brought into this company.
Mm-hmm.
No matter if you're a wrestler, a broadcaster, a referee, backstage coach, whatever you are. Because there are a lot of piranhas and scumbags and shitheads in this business.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, a lot of them are from my generation. I got to be honest.
Yeah. It's your fault.
Yes. So I'm telling you, I look, there's shitheads all over the place, obviously.
Every industry.
Absolutely. I agree. But I just maybe come just closer to me because I understand my generation of professional wrestling very well. And I think here it's the right people.
Mm-hmm.
The right people. And like Aubrey, what you said about as far as it's fun here, it should be fun.
It's wrestling.
It should be fun. It should be fun. Here's the but. There's got to be accountability.
Yes.
And I do think that happens here. You can't, I'm not saying you said this. I'm not putting words. I'm just saying it's got to be fun, but it's work too. It's business. It's we got to make money.
I
we got to get
it,
shit
but
over.
I 100% agree with you.
Yes, right,
Like we're here to do a job.
Correct.
Right? Like sure, we're here to have fun and whatnot, but at the end of the day, we're doing a live television product.
That's exactly right.
You got to make money. Like,
absolutely.
It's fun. You want to keep doing this.
Sure. And
so
you
want to
have
job.
Fun. It is a job. It's like Kevin Sullivan. Not the Kevin Sullivan here.
Ah, gotcha.
The devil, Kevin
the
Sullivan.
The devil. Right.
That one.
The Taskmaster.
Yeah, right.
He was one of my few mentors who helped me very much.
Right.
And he told me a line, I'll never forget it, years ago. And Tony, you might have heard this one. This is a long one.
Okay.
He said, pro wrestling is high school with money.
Yeah.
Right? Oh my God. Oh, I've never heard that before, but that is perfect.
It's high school with money. I mean, most people had fun in high school.
Right.
Unless you're like Siobhan, you got beat up in high school all the time. But
I'm not surprised to hear that at all.
He knew me.
Was Taz the one that beat you up in high school?
Yeah, I do. I wanted to beat him up recently in a production meeting. I wanted to beat him up. Very recently.
What?
Because he ripped me.
What did he do?
Well, I'll tell you. We'll bring people behind the curtain.
Okay.
So in these production meetings, somebody help me here.
It's like a massive meeting. We all meet in catering Tuesday night.
Right, and there's a head table.
There's a head
Tony
table.
Knows.
There's a head table. Head table. No, Cody.
I heard this happen. I'm not
Tony Khan. EVPs.
EVPs.
And Cody starts reading through the card.
Okay. Correct.
Kind of telling us a little bit of the show, and we're all kind of flipping along.
That's all true. But what's at the table in front of those men?
Oh, the little signs with their names?
The little signs with their names.
Or the little shoot names.
Right,
which means real.
Right.
So we go into a meeting recently here at AEW, and I mind my business. I sit in the back of the room, and there is – and Tony – look at Shivani. He's acting like, well, tell me. He knows the whole – he knows fucking everything.
I heard this story.
Yeah. And I have my own sign.
I have it. I'm excited.
Did you see the sign?
You have a sign?
I didn't make the sign.
I did.
Somehow this sign showed up.
It said Taz.
The guy to your left.
It wasn't on the front.
So you put it on the front table.
I would just
you
think,
son of a bitch.
I would have been funny. The bigger rib would have been if you would have moved Tony Khan's out of
the way
before the meeting and put mine there and not told Tony Khan. Tony would have left. But,
you know. Tony would have found it hilarious.
Wow, that is a rib.
That's a rib.
Oh my God!
Well, I do that out of great affection and great respect of you. Oh, I do. I really do. I do, man.
He's trying to cover his ass now.
I'm serious. I'm serious. And you know, when you teach these kids in the ring and you have them throw each other, suplex themselves out of the ring and hit the chairs and get hurt, I'm saying Taz has been here. Man, that's good.
That plot's not true. Okay.
Now, really, I want to talk about you mentioned Kevin Sullivan was part. Is anybody else was part of, you know, that you
helping me?
Helping you?
Yeah.
Tony Atlas. Remember Tony Atlas?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tony helped me a lot years ago on the Northeast Independents before they were called Independents. Mm-hmm. He helped me a lot. Like I said, Kevin Sullivan. You know, my trainer, Johnny Rods, to be honest, he trained me the right way, and I'm very happy I went to him. But I really didn't get, you know, after that much. He, like I said, he kind of let you go on your own, but
give you a couple basics. Yeah, get out of the nest.
That was it. I didn't have many more guys that helped me much at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, so I kind of found my own way, and I believe in that. I don't think wrestlers need to have their hand held.
No,
you know, but I do think you need one or two or three veterans to help you and guide you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing that here at AEW with a couple of young talents mm-hmm. where the company said, "Hey, can you kind of
help them out?
Guide
a little bit.
These guys
yeah,
a little
yeah,
bit."
Yeah.
Right.
And they're very receptive, and it's because, you know, as you guys know, you need to help. You know, sometimes wrestlers are their own, can hurt themselves out of the ring. It's mm-hmm. not just in the ring. They're
right.
just doing the wrong thing or acting the wrong way or coming across the wrong way. That's the only thing you got to be careful. You can get heat,
right?
But I've been trying to get heat. So sometimes you need a veteran to say, "Hey, be careful of that. Mm-hmm. That's not the right way to do
right.
that." You know, so
yeah.
that's kind of what I do also. Yeah.
This is AEW Unrestricted. We're talking to best friends, Orange Cassidy. We asked for some questions online with the hashtag AEW podcast. We've actually got quite a few.
We sure did.
This is a lot. Mikey Kuzminski, 28, says, "Chuck, when are you going to finally say the S word on Dynamite?"
They won't let me.
Why not? We
from
got like
I've
two
heard,
per show, right?
From what I've heard, we have like an allotment. Yeah, like so I guess, you know, the big stars get that. I think if we ever win the of course not, I'm not big enough star yet. If we ever win the big one, I think I'm gonna
just hold the bell and go.
I'm just gonna go shit.
Nice.
It's gonna be.
I
sweet.
Said it.
What
once.
A moment.
I said it once.
You've said it more than once. You said
really?
It a lot. Yeah, and you spit every match too. We're not supposed to spit,
dude.
No.
It says on the board.
I'm getting hit in the face really hard. Spit comes out.
Yeah, man.
Don't gotta do hold it. That shit in.
Mm.
I think I just screamed "fuck you" at the camera
on Dark. Has that come out yet?
Yeah, so I'm beating up this guy, and like we're supposed to be mad at Santana and Ortiz, and I turn to the hard camera like Santana Ortiz, and I realize, oh, I have nothing to say now. So I just go
double bird, and then immediately realizes what he's done.
Yeah, I go, oh.
He goes, "Fuck you!" Oh, like that. Bryce is our ref, and both of them just go, "Oh my god!"
Uh-oh.
That's so insane.
I'm pretty sure they aired it.
Maybe I mean, they do anything on YouTube, right?
Yeah, they can get by with that, but they try to cut out a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, TNT's logos on things, so
yeah,
probably
Jess
care.
Yeah, Jess edited some of that stuff out.
You're just making Jess's life difficult.
Yeah.
Oh, that's we've become very good at making Jess's life difficult.
I bet you have. Yeah.
Every promo we've ever cut takes mm-hmm.
takes
her 3 hours to edit together, I'm sure.
More than that.
Yeah.
The Rise Experience. Will Trent's mom make any more appearances on Dynamite?
Who's to say? That's my answer.
Okay.
I mean, you're kind of to say, right?
She might.
I do have a funny story about my mom when his mom showed up.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
My mom texted me that night after that match aired. I went back and checked my phone. It said, "WTF, I can drive." And then she calls me the next day. We're taping Dynamite on Thursday. And she goes, "What are you doing?" I go, "Oh, I'm at work." And she goes, "Is that fucking Sue there?"
We got a few big mom
vibes
now.
I love it.
Oh, man.
As a joke. She didn't mean it.
She meant it.
No, she meant it.
She totally meant it. All right. Flat Top Junction. Does Trent cut the grass for his mom?
No.
No. Cool. Great.
Okay.
Jonathan News. Is Sue single?
No. How many
Wow.
There's a lot of questions about your mom.
She's older than all of us.
Yeah, next one. Way off Broadway. Do you plan to keep the Dark Order away from Sue? Are you just going to let her drink the Kool-Aid? We should really just have your mom on the podcast.
So much, right? It's not real, so. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You guys just really end the podcast on that, right? Who cares about any question?
Okay.
I'll keep her out of the Dark Order. Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Good.
These guys were part of my childhood. These guys will be saying 30 years from now.
Yeah.
And they that on. Okay. This is from Ozzy 20, and this is for Orange Cassidy. Will we see Orange Cassidy's orange juice at our local convenience stores?
Yes.
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 Why not?
This is right? Breaking news on.
I mean, I think
Unrestricted. Well,
people would drink it.
Yeah, take
right?
Tropicana down, man.
Absolutely.
Empire
yeah.
down.
Absolutely.
It's not very good juice anyway.
No, it's great juice.
Oh, geez,
but it's not orange juice.
What's the number one juice?
I would say it's probably Tropicana.
It's probably Tropicana.
Really?
Yeah.
Or like, what's the one that's not actually orange juice? It's like orange drink.
Sunny Delight?
Yeah. That right. one's probably gets.
I like the one that's in a, this is really great for the audio. It's kind of shaped like this.
Mm-hmm.
With a oh. circle, big circle cap.
Oh, mm-hmm. the naturally orange one or whatever it is.
I don't know.
Yeah, they make like the apple juice and stuff.
Yes.
Too.
Simply orange.
Simply, that's mm-hmm. it. Nice. That's it. Tony Schiavone to the rescue.
Thank you very much.
That's a great one.
Yeah, it is. All right. This question's from John Anthony, 1270. Who is your favorite tag team to work against?
Oh, shit.
Maybe the Bucks.
Suck ups.
maybe Cody and Kenny.
If it was Cody, Kenny, and the Bucks all together.
Or TK.
With Tony.
Tony Khan and Chris Jericho if they were teaming together. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Something like that. Yeah.
I could work you can work the Young Bucks every day of the week. They're very you don't get hurt and you can do crazy stuff.
Right.
And that's all you can ask for, I guess, is to not get the shit kicked out
you
of you.
You guys worked against them a lot, right?
Oh, a million times, me right. too.
Me and Rocky PWG, in Japan yeah. all the time with them mm-hmm. too. Also, like, they're really creative, so, like, I don't have to think that much. They'll say, let's do this, and I
what
go,
are you
yep,
doing
that
the
sounds...
table? You've been wiping something off for, like...
Oh, I don't know.
The whole time.
There's little fuzzes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you not like that?
Well, that's cool.
That's whatever
you
want to do. I was just curious, like, smoke crack
see,
or something?
See the
like,
sign
what's
behind
going on, man?
Unrestricted.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever
oh
watch okay. this.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, that's unrestricted
oh,
as well.
That's too over the top for me.
I scratched the table for people just okay. listening.
What was the stuff Trent had to eat on MTV's show Silent Library? And does Trent still keep in touch with the bird? Talk about that experience.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah.
So I was on Silent Library.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone knows that show, but the final stunt of the day or like a prank stunt, I like sat in a bird nest.
Close to the mic.
I sat in a bird nest and like it was called like bird feed or baby bird feed. And so I sat in the nest and I had to open my mouth and then I man in a bird mascot costume comes out and like it's got an open mouth and like a stream of puke shoots out of its mouth and I have to open my mouth and accept the vomit.
Was it actually
and
vomit?
Like it,
what was
they
it?
Mixed up whatever they mix up in their secret lab and it tastes like puke.
Oh shit.
Like they have all the secrets to make, just make it taste terrible.
Did you get paid for this?
Yeah.
Makes it at least worth it a little
wow.
bit.
It was fun in the end.
That was a fun experience?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, when the Birdman puked in your mouth, what a time. Yeah. Wow. At least you're on MTV. Okay.
Oh, man. We got a question from Marshall Haycock 77. What
get
is
better you? Twitter handles, guys. What are those numbers?
Trendy.
How dogs. Many Marshall Haycocks are there?
There apparently are 76 before him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay.
So who's your, or what's your favorite tag match that you guys have ever wrestled together?
Probably me and Rocky.
Maybe I like the Zack Sabre one with Marty. Zack Sabre and Marty Scurll, maybe?
Yeah.
I think that was our favorite. Maybe the
it
best
wasn't
one.
It wasn't an AEW. Well, it went like over 30 minutes. We haven't had a chance to do that here yet.
Yeah. What's our
AEW one?
Yeah.
I loved your match with Kenny and Nakazawa.
Oh, jeez. I thought we didn't talk about that one.
No. I asked what the finish was. You're like, yeah, there's some stuff. Yeah. Whatever. We'll talk you through it.
I like the one we had with Kip and Jimmy, weirdly, the little hardcore match, but I like
the one
garbage
with
wrestling.
Fans there more.
Yeah.
No answer.
Okay.
Probably never had a good one.
El Smasho wants to know.
El Smasho.
And this is kind of deep. This is for all three of you, okay? This is pretty deep. So think about this. How do you balance being seriously rad wrestlers
mm-hmm.
with great ability
right.
with the shtick that is so on point?
It's not a shtick.
It's not, no, but
I know. We don't like each other. It is a shtick.
Okay. Okay. With the entertainment part of what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Put it that way.
I mean, when we're wrestling, we're kind of not doing the shtick that much.
Yeah.
We hug and that's it.
Yeah.
I don't know how we balance anything. Are we balancing it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't know if we're doing it well.
Right.
I think we used to do more
goofy stuff.
Yeah, goofy. Now we're kind of, especially in the midst of like this blood feud with Santana and Ortiz, it's hard to be like, I want to throw this guy through a pile of chairs, but also let me hook my friend.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah,
it's a little tougher.
Right. I get that.
I think we definitely do less of it now.
But even in the midst of a match where you have serious content, people are expecting you guys to hug, right? It's become part of what you are, right?
That awesome New Japan shot.
That's just our fire up pretty
much. Right, sure. Yeah. Sure.
Do you remember we did that in Ring of Honor. They would do that zoom out for us when we hugged.
Yeah, Okada.
Yeah, and we were in New Japan still at the time. And do you remember showing Okada? I had a gif of it on my phone.
I don't remember anything that ever happened.
I pulled up my show. I go, look, this is what happens when we hug. And he goes, oh, he loved it. So anyway, like, man. Every now and then people accuse us of like, oh, you're stealing Okada's shit. Like, how could you? Like, Okada's our friend. Like,
Okada loved it.
We were in the same group as Okada.
Yeah, we still stole it, but.
Yeah, we stole it, but it's not like just blatantly ripping him off.
It's malicious thievery.
It's, hey, let's do this.
Tribute.
It's a tribute.
It's a nice thing.
I miss him.
So we have a question from KBell2448, because there were so many before. Mm-hmm. Apparently, you guys have an obsession about how people wipe their asses.
Oh.
How did that start?
Lord.
We had our own talk show podcast type thing, like a video podcast on the High Spots Network back in the day. And we found out that
like half the world sits.
Yeah,
half the world like does a little stand.
When they
wipe their asshole.
Wipe their butt after they defecate trying to be clean.
And we would ask, that was our big question.
Yeah,
on the
that
show.
Was like the main focus of ours. Because the other half doesn't know that the other half exists. Like, everyone that stands thinks everyone stands.
You
everyone that sits.
Figure the way that you wipe your ass is the way that everyone wipes their ass.
Yes.
Oh.
And most people don't know that the other
ass
exists.
I sit.
We're both sitters.
I sit.
Yeah.
Tony, what about you?
I stand because I got gator arms.
Okay. But yeah,
no,
that was.
That's not.
That was
no excuse for standing.
That was like our big home run question on our terrible show.
Yeah.
Hopefully, no one will go back and watch.
Glad we brought that up on this one.
Yeah, sure. Orange, you want to chime in on this one?
Yeah. How do you wipe your ass?
Jesus.
I don't know, man.
Okay,
I got it. We would also take our shirts off and tweet pictures to The Rock.
Until he actually responded.
One time he responded.
And then we're like, all right,
this is over.
Wait, did he
That was like the end of the show would be we all take our shirts off and tweet something to The Rock with us, with all our shirts off.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But we had Jack Evans on. Jack Evans in AEW now. We had him on one time and The Rock responded to it. So we got real nervous.
Yeah.
He's like a real person.
Steve Mander submitted a question on our video. It's at tntdrama.com/allelitewrestling/unrestrictedpodcast. You can see the video portion of this, which you're going to be very entertained by.
Oh, yes. Very much so.
This is on TNT's website.
Yes. TNT actually pays for
it. It's going to be on TNT, by the way, everything you're saying.
Okay. And this is for you, Orange. This is a serious question.
A good question.
Yeah,
it's
is a good question. Think about this. How does it feel to prove many of the all-time greats wrong by being so successful and capturing the hearts and minds of so many fans?
It's deep.
It feels so good. Because there's a lot of people that said, I would never do anything.
Yeah.
And this wouldn't amount to anything. And now here I am sitting between Aubrey Edwards and Dustin. On TNT, really crushing it. Thank you for your question.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Great answer. Great answer.
Oh, man.
All right. Let's see. What was the big bonding moment for best friends? What was the big moment?
China.
China.
Wait, the wrestler or the country?
Both. No. No. We went on a trip to China for Evolve Wrestling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were there for 10 days or whatever. It was
Damn.
A really great experience. Also, we were both real sad because our girlfriends had both just dumped us.
Oh, my God.
And they kind of bonded
was
over that.
Was it coordinated?
I think they're together now, actually.
Oh, wow.
But Yeah, we were both like weird sad guys, so.
So that was a big Bondi moment.
Commiserated over being
China
shitty sad
and
guys.
Sad guys.
Just sad guys in China, man.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Was that the movie? No.
Sad guys in China.
That's a great name for a movie, I can tell you that. Okay, let's see. We missed one. Oh, yeah. Lancashire Land. Chuck.
Lancashire Land.
Will we ever see the invisible grenade finisher in AEW?
No, God, no.
Okay. You hate that you ever did that.
I do. It's a fucking YouTube video from 12 years ago, and I still get judged on it. It was in Chikara. It was in a stupid promotion with walking ice cream men and a bunch of ants. I wouldn't do it on TV.
We got a couple more minutes. Here's some fast questions for you. Chuck, what is Trent's favorite movie?
I don't actually know. What is your favorite movie?
You don't have to guess.
Oh. Yeah. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
No, never liked that show. Okay.
Trent, what is Chuck's favorite color?
Favorite colors are for little kids only.
My favorite color is orange.
Where'd they go?
Trent. Actually, Chuck, question. What is Trent's favorite cheat day food?
You're not like a big, you don't have like a great diet, right? Your body just works correctly?
I mean.
Like you don't, like, do you do
I
cheat
do,
days?
I do. No, I don't do cheat days.
Yeah.
You don't do cheat days at all?
He doesn't eat great.
I do fasting, and then like whenever I eat as much meat as I can first, and then whatever else fits in after that.
He has great genetics, man. He has those big natural titties like from birth.
Damn, big natural titties from birth, man. That's good school.
No, more puberty that came.
That is, that's.
Nah, you probably popped that.
I'm telling you right now, that's a T-shirt. Big natural titties from birth. That is a T-shirt.
I don't think there's a better way to end the podcast than that. So we might as well wrap it up.
Chuck, Trent, and Orange Cassidy, thanks, man.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being with us, guys.
Thank you.
This is awesome. Yeah, so subscribe to AEW Unrestricted Podcast for free wherever you get your podcasts. Please leave us a rating, review. Please tell us how much you like us talking about Tony Schiavone's balls.
We didn't even talk about those.
We didn't.
That's
we didn't
a whole other podcast.
We're going to have to bring you guys back, do ad reads and shit. You can check out the video version of the podcast on YouTube.
Long or something?
Like his balls?
Yeah. What's the deal? Standard? Sorry.
Pop quiz, Tony.
What about them?
Are they standard balls? Or
Trenty Locks wants to know.
Let me just close with this. Have you ever gone to a produce department and see the coconuts?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and see like the old gray hairs on the coconuts?
Mm-hmm.
That's me.
Very nice.
Okay. All right. And that's about the end of that.
You can check out the video of this podcast on YouTube. Just search for AEW Unrestricted.
Yes. And tune into AEW Dynamite Wednesdays, 8 o'clock Central on TNT, 8 o'clock 7 Central on TNT. I'm Tony Schiavone.
I'm Aubrey Edwards.
Thank you very much. And Orange Cassidy, thanks very much for not laughing.
Yeah, you did.
I laughed a little bit.
A little bit.
You're a funny guy.
Thanks, everyone.
Come on, throw your hands up. Let me see you. Unrestricted.